Hey, you are listening to the Badass Asian Dudes podcast. This is Victor Ung, one of the hosts of this show, and I am super excited to introduce our guest here, Samuel Shin, a former therapist and current men's coach who is helping men who identify as Asian find their sense of self and purpose in their life. I had actually found Sam through another Facebook group. Shout out to Clover from Unconventional Asians. And once I heard he was a former therapist here to help Asian men, I obviously had to get him onto this podcast. So I'm excited to introduce our conversation about mental health, about emotional intelligence, about Asian identity and masculinity. These are all topics that are so very needed in this space, and I really appreciate you for being here, for getting uncomfortable, and for bettering yourself. Before we get into this episode, a quick update on our end. We are getting really close to launching our merch for the Badass Asian Dudes. We got a good friend to design this badass logo for us, and we are excited about getting it onto some awesome shirts and hoodies and a jacket as well. In the meantime, you could sign up for an early subscriber 15% discount on the merch when we drop. That discount will only be available for a limited time, so definitely go and subscribe at badassasiandudes.com/subscribe. And at the bottom, you'll see a form to enter in your email there. If you haven't already, join the other 1,200 members on our Facebook group at Badass Asian Dudes and introduce yourself there. What does being a badass Asian dude mean to you? What does emotional intelligence mean to you? And if you are open and willing, share something vulnerable about yourself that no one else really knows. And lastly, our Emotion Dojo is open. I've mentioned this on a couple episodes before, but you can think of this as an online gym membership for our emotions. We have these physical places to work out our muscles, our physical muscles, but we don't have spaces to exercise our emotional ones, especially for those who identify as Asian men. And we've been running these sessions for almost 9 months now, and it's been amazing to see every one of these guys come out of these sessions so much lighter and with confidence and with power. And I am honored to be able to hold this space for others to dive deeper within themselves so they can show up ultimately best for those around us. So you can learn more about that at my site, victorung.com. I am honestly, full transparency, still working out the branding and all the, you know, bringing this all together in a way that looks cohesive. But this is something that is so amazing and powerful and full of love and compassion and authenticity. And I'm so grateful to be able to provide this space. This is my life's work and my calling, and very relevant to what we're building here with the Badass Asian Dudes. Definitely check out the Emotion Dojo at victorung.com. All of the links that I mentioned here will be in the description as well. With that, let's get right into the episode with Samuel Shin. All right, Sam. It's good to have you, brother. How you doing? How you doing today?
Good, man. How you doing?
Yeah.
Good to be
great,
here.
Great, great. I'm just, you know, I always think about like doing intros to these things, like, but this is going to be very conversational, and it's been cool. I'm excited to have you on to get your experience about Asian masculinity, doing men's work in general, being Asian American. And talking about these deeper things. So I really appreciate you coming on to the show.
For sure, man. It's a pleasure to be here. Those topics are, I'm really excited to talk about all that. So, yeah.
Yes. To be completely honest, I'm being present for myself and am a little tired today too. So I'm just kind of my body is physically feeling a little like tension in the back of my spinal area. But emotionally I am grateful. I am excited to get into these topics that I think a lot of, for me at least, growing up as an Asian American man, not really like heard much about, or at least had the space to explore. So thank you for taking the time.
For sure. Yeah. No, thanks. I was saying before we started, I'm feeling I might be getting sick or something, but you know, when I get on a call, when I do a coaching, I turn on, and then like later I'm like, oh shit, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm feeling good right now, but
I feel that.
Yeah. Later maybe.
I feel that. Yeah. Well, cool. For those who don't know you as much, share a bit about like your experience and a lot of like what got you here in doing this work with men and especially with Asian Americans.
Yeah, it's a long story, but basically I just got into psychology pretty early, studied it in undergrad, and then went to grad school. In undergrad, I was like a researcher. I was like a cognitive neuroscience geek. I loved neuroscience, so I was super passionate about it. And it wasn't just like, oh, I'm gonna get a degree. It was like, I fucking loved it. I like loved psychology. And so just naturally I wanted to go to grad school. And so I got my master's in counseling, and it was kind of like an alternative, like holistic program. They integrate Eastern spirituality and Western psychology. Really grateful for that. And then, that just catalyzed a huge journey for me. That was where I got, you know, the education you're talking about with like how to be a human being, basically, right. But like also be a man and be Asian and all that stuff. Growing up Asian, I got all that training, not the Asian piece as much, but the how to human kind of thing, in grad school. So that was, I got lucky. I went to a really good grad school. Picked up spirituality, meditation, did that really intensely for like probably 10 years, in as alongside psychology stuff. And, the Asian piece is kind of interesting because that was a very Western, Western Sammy. I used to call Sammy, but like Western Sammy. I grew up very Korean. I had a very traditional family, immigrants, grew up with a big Korean community, but I left that around 18 or 19. And then I just started hanging out with white people, just doing academia. But late 20s, I started to be like, oh, okay, like, hey, what's up with, you know, like, where are all the Asian people at? Where's like, you know? So I started to inquire more into that and get in touch with my roots. And I studied some more like traditional styles of Zen and things like that that kind of got me connected to that, to like my ancestry, I think. But it's hard to find Asian people in this type of work or field. And so that's kind of a separate thing. But and then the men's work was kind of a separate thing too, where I just started doing men's work, and I was like, you know, my dad was not very a good role model, and so I was looking for ways to work with my masculine energy and my masculinity and being a man. And I found this organization called Sacred Sons, and I worked with them and did some trainings. I did all their workshops, and it was just amazing what that experience was. Even it's different when you do it with just men. So I ended up becoming a facilitator, certified facilitator through them. And so now I'm just kind of weaving all those different pieces together. You know, I'm not a therapist. I was practicing therapy for a while, but I'm not a therapist anymore. And bringing what I've learned from mental health, what I've learned from therapy school, what I've learned from meditation, what I've learned doing men's work, and just me growing up Asian, all that stuff is like coming together now to support the Asian community. So
I love that. And I'd love to dive into each of those areas.
For sure.
This is something that, you know, really is for some reason such a missing avenue for not only Asian Americans, but especially men. And I know I've absorbed a lot of that, call it a stigma or call it a way of being that restricted me from really identifying what is it I'm even feeling. And then can I express that? Can I communicate that to someone without feeling less of a man or weak or, you know, quote unquote gay, right? Like all these things that limited my own expression. So I think this is really important work that you're in. And I know that that's held me back in so many other areas of my life that I before would have not noticed or before, like, what since someone did emotions or you know, have a role in how I perform or what I accomplish in my
For
life.
For sure. Right?
So did you want to say something about that?
Yeah, I can, but you can go ahead. It's just, okay. I agree. It's like this, it's like this thing that's underneath the surface that's affecting every area of our lives.
Yeah.
Yet we aren't willing to acknowledge that, especially as men, but living in patriarchal systems and capitalistic, you know, it's like, where is the space? Even calling mental health, it's like, for me, it's really about emotions, you know, it's like the thoughts come from a lot of our beliefs, our emotions, our past experiences, you know? I agree with you 100%, 1000%, man. That's it's everywhere. It's everything, really, emotions. Yeah.
Right. And I'd love to get into like what your personal experience was with all of that too. But before we do, we like to ask all of our guests, what does being a badass Asian dude mean to you?
It's funny because I kind of know what you guys are going for with that, but like for me, it's like I like to I really respect people, but also especially men who are really doing the work. Like when I see a man who's like willing to show up, own their shit, be vulnerable, be authentic, like do healing work, you know, be able to take responsibility for their lives. Like that for me is, I have mad respect for men like that, you know, because they're so few, they're so rare. It's like being uncommon amongst uncommon men, right? It's like something like that. It's like, man, that's so uncommon for men to just be doing the work, but men who are really like heart-centered and like badass, you know, like still, you know, like that for me, I really have so much respect. So I guess it comes down to a respect thing for me. It's like, what kind of men do I respect? It's the men who are like super authentic, super willing to like go against the grain, because it takes a lot of courage to do this type of work, because like you were saying, it goes against everything that we're taught. It's, you know, as a man, it's like you're like gay, or, you know, so quit being a girl. You hear that from a very young age, like you're such a sissy, you don't be a pussy. Yeah. And it's like, that's what sensitivity is. That's what vulnerability means. That's what, you know, like emotions essentially mean in this culture. So I'm like, man, if somebody can break through that, or just like, you know, despite all that, show up, I'm like, yeah, like that's the dude that I want to know. That's the dude that I want to, you know, like roll with. That's for me. Yeah. I mean, I get it. Like business, making tons of money, that's hard. You know, I'm an entrepreneur right now, and I'm like, man, this shit is hard too. It's like, it's really hard to be successful financially, but that's, you know, not as hard to me. You know, like if I think about it collectively, that is not as hard than somebody who really knows their emotions. You know what I mean? So that's I respect men who, you know, and of course I want money and all that and stuff too. And but it's like so many men are rich and unhappy, you know? Right. And in the end, that's not gonna matter that you're rich, you know, it's the unhappy part that's really gonna, you're gonna be like, oh fuck. Right. Shit, I should have done this before, or like, what do I do now? You know? So
Yeah. Thanks for saying that too. I think a lot of what we like to at least
like encourage
here is a lot of that preventative care, mm-hmm. in our mental and emotional well-being, mm-hmm. right? Like so much of whatever the work is, right? And I'm actually curious to dive into what that means, but also just introspecting and learning about ourselves. We don't do so until we hit a point of, you know, something that is tangible. Oh, yeah. I was divorced. I got fired. All freaking of a sudden pandemic a lot hit. Of weight.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. So, yeah. Right. So there's like external circumstances that I think is very natural for humans to live about. I almost feel like that type of pain is necessary in some way to raise for awareness, sure. right? So a lot of ways this pandemic was almost a necessity for a lot of people to wake up,
mm-hmm.
you know, 100%. Really start to take that time for themselves. And it's just interesting because then the next step after waking up is like all of the discomfort and overwhelm and being lost and not knowing what to do. And
yeah,
you know, and
yeah, so don't tell them that part. No, don't tell them that part. That's going to make them.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, that's totally true. It's like just the beginning. Right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And so how does that apply to your life in that, like, what was your journey actually going into, you know, exploring and starting to do the work. And then if you can identify a little bit of like what the work is for you or what.
Sure.
That
yeah. No, well. Those are great questions. I had a lot of pain. That's definitely what catalyzed it as well. So you're talking about divorce or relationships or jobs and all that, like, you know, crises happening. And that's definitely the case. I see that with a lot of people, that bringing them onto to this path. But, I was in a lot of pain. I think very confusing childhood, parents, immigrants, uneducated, typical kind of Asian family, lack, not good communication, some physical abuse, just like, you know, a lot of emotional stuff, you know. Like financially, we were okay. We were lower middle class, but we were okay. Never thought about finances. We never had problems with eating, you know, food. Like that's, but it was like the emotional stuff that I never really got from my parents. And I didn't know how to make sense of that. You know, I didn't know what to make of that growing up. I was like really unmotivated in school. I got into drugs, started hanging out with people getting in trouble. Like I was just acting out. I was in a lot of pain, a lot of conflict, inner conflict. And, you know, I feel lucky that I loved psychology, like I said. So I took my first psychology class and I was like, whoa, this is different. Like in high school, this was like junior year or something. It's a shitty class. Like the professor, it was my tennis coach that taught it. And I was just like, you know, it kind of sucked, but I noticed that it was different. And so I just majored in psychology after that and kind of had a turning point where I left the drugs for the most part and left the troubled life. And I was not in touch with any of my emotions, even though I was like, didn't even know what emotions freaking were. Like I was, but again, maybe luck or like bad luck, I don't know, but I ended up going to this grad school by chance. Like, I heard about this grad school that's like a Buddhist school. So I was in, you know, I was academic. I was a researcher and heard about the school from somebody. And I was like, okay, maybe I'll go check it out. That sounds good. I was going to get my PhD in clinical psychology, but decided I'm going to get this master's first in like humanistic existential psychology. That's what it was. And it was a super radical school. Like I didn't know, hadn't encountered anything like it, but you know, it was a school that made me, that kind of forced me to understand who I was and through experience. Like, you jump in the deep end, and the story I always tell is like, I was, you know, in a class, in a group, it was a group dynamics class, first semester, and sitting in this circle with like, I don't know, 10 other people, all training to be counselors. And we were supposed to talk about our feelings. There was some reading about it, like, okay, this is how you talk about your feelings and do I statements. And like, and then it was just like, go. So we get into class and it's just like, all right, now we're just going to sit around and talk about our feelings. You can't talk about your thoughts. There's a lot of, you can't know this, know this. You could only say, I feel this. And I sat there like freaking out. I was just like, what? Like, and my body was like becoming overwhelmed, and I got super anxious. I had a panic attack, and it's like, oh my God. But I was like through being in that environment for, you know, 3.5 years, I mean, I got it pretty quick. I was doing a lot of radical stuff. I was like, some of our classes, like, you touch other people's hearts, and you touch other people's, you do meditations on like the heart and like genital areas. And like, it's like learning about basically what it means to be human. That was the whole idea of the program. So 4 levels of being human. We're physical beings, we're sexual, I guess 5, but sexual, emotional, mental, spiritual. You hear this a lot now. At the time, this was, you know, 12 years ago, it was radical for me. And I was like, okay, but it helped me gain a framework to understand myself. So that class with the genitals, it's like, I'm a sexual being. I was like, oh, okay. Like, I never even thought that this was okay. But, you know, this, such is the nature of radical kind of westernized spiritual and psychology. You know, it's like, that's, I got like a dose of the Western side of stuff. So that really benefited me in the end, and started doing therapy a lot and dove into that like super intensely. I was meditating. Just did a lot of different types of that kind of stuff. Meditation, healing work, therapy, like kind of the new age spiritual stuff. This is all in the Bay Area, San Francisco, where that's like prolific. And yeah, it's like the sexual revolution too, or the you know, all that. So it was a really radical place. And I was there for 11 years. I'll say that all that inner work, or, you know, we can talk about the work, but like therapy and healing and learning about myself really was to get me to a place where I could feel somewhat stable. I think the big part for me was feeling emotionally stable enough to like live from a place in my life where I can feel fulfilled, you know, have fulfilling relationships, have fulfilling career, have fulfilling everything. It really gave me the tools too, to be able to do that. So I feel lucky, you know, that I mean, I dove in, you know, I did it maximally. Like, I am the kind of person that's like 100%, I go in too deep and then I try to learn how to swim, you know, like that seems to be my life. And so, I kind of did it myself, but yeah, I feel lucky that I'm where I'm at now, and that I have the tools, and that I can now like help people with it. Answer that part?
Yeah, for sure. I hear that there's a lot of the curiosity in how to navigate your inner world so that you can be in a stable place to then flourish in doing bigger things like outside of us and you know, living a bigger purpose. And I think we can definitely get into the more spiritual side of things as well. I think because I was going to mention that this is such a, it's interesting as I've been on this journey, like not thinking about these bigger, more ethereal things, right? Like, oh, get the job, get the house, get the car, like, you know, marry a Chinese girl, like, you know, and then, but then not even know how to have sex with her. Like, what the heck? Like, so anyway, all these like things to create a physical security, but there wasn't as much of this emotional security, right? Yeah, this resiliency, totally. This stability. And and so what I hear was that, you know, there was a lot of what you were building in you know, especially in context of all the pain that you were mentioning before, because that was a question that was coming up, was like, what do you feel like you were seeking, you know, by doing this work? What was the work for, you know?
Yeah, for me, I always, so even before psychology, I always wanted to be myself. I don't know why. That was the like anthem of my life and growing up. That's what I hated my parents for. It was like, I just want to be like, why don't you understand me? Like, I kind of deep down knew who I was, but like, I wasn't seen. So that created a lot of pain, but like my whole life was about like, I need to be myself. And like, and I have to, like, I didn't have a choice. Like it was interesting. And so I never thought about, you know, and there's like reasons why my upbringing and all this stuff, but like, I never thought about money. I never thought about like, my whole mission and what I always talk to my friends about is like, yeah, just like, what are you passionate about? Like, what do you love? Like, you know, looking around at all my peers in school, I was like, why does nobody really care about what they're learning? And I'm like, you know, but like my mission was always like learn about who I am and be that in the world and express it. So that's really, I think, what drew me to psychology in the end was like, actually, first it was what's wrong with me. I think that's kind of how we always start off on this journey. It's like, fuck, what the fuck is wrong with me? I need to change myself. I need to fix myself. So I use psychology to try to do that. But after a while, it was like, oh, okay. Like it's not that there's anything wrong with me. I just like wasn't expressing myself. I wasn't expressing my emotions. I was suppressing. I was my family. You know, all these different things came up that it's like it wasn't. There's nothing wrong with me. So, the journey of the self, that's really what I look at it as. And, you know, I think deep down there's probably just some, I don't know where it came from, but it was like, I knew that this is what's most important in life, you know, like in the end, it's more important to have lived your life in a way that you feel complete, whole, fulfilled, you know, like authentic. In some ways it might just be because I like to be the, what do you call it? The black sheep, or like the person who does the opposite. So it's like this whole culture is about, you know, commercial stuff and materials. And I was like, no, this is wrong. It's like, this is not the road to happiness. Right. So I don't really know what it was in the end that kind of was the through line, except for that, you know, my whole life that was kind of carrying me. And it was rough, dude. Like, you're talking about the shit that comes up. Dude, it was dark. My life was fucking dark as hell. Like, I wouldn't wish it on anybody, you know, I would not. But like, I know what's on the other side. And so I don't know if I just cut out there, but yeah, I wouldn't want that for anybody, you know? And I know that in the end, that's what's going to be most rewarding. you know, and I've worked with people, I worked in hospice. I worked with people who lost their family members. So I actually literally worked with people who died, and still I can hold my truth like firmly that this is the most fucking important thing. It only affirmed it, you know, like so many people die and they're like, oh fuck. And they have terrible deaths. Some people have this really beautiful death, like, and they didn't live their life authentically, but somehow at the very end, it's just like, oh, like things open up and like shoo, they clear up all their karma. It's really interesting. But some people also struggle, and they really,
yeah,
you know, all the shit that they didn't deal with in their life catches up with them. And so, you know, I kind of knew that. And I think we all kind of know that, to be honest.
I really love that you are coming from this place where, you know, you've had this work with, you've been working with other people in your therapy practice, and you did the men's work and all this, and you know, so much to go into too. Because I joined my own men's group, and that was a whole experience for me, like getting really uncomfortable. But I did want to like explore the purpose side of things and spirituality and that, as I know that that's a lot of work that you want to focus on as well. And because a lot of what I'm hearing too in this work for myself is that, you know, a lot of the toxic side of masculinity, again, masculinity is not the toxic thing. It's this, the environment that creates toxicity, is a lack of purpose. It's a lack of, you know, living towards something bigger than yourself, or having a sense of value in that way, right? I know that that's what created a lot of my own toxicity. You know, just living willy-nilly, just expecting life to just happen for me and to me, you know. And it's been, yeah, so for me it's been interesting to, like, you know, to do things with more intentionality. Of course, there's so many other things that go into that, but what is, I guess, like, yeah, what are you working on towards that? Because I know that now you're, you know, finding this accumulation of your life and all the work that you've done, all the training you've done, and now exploring and helping others find their own sense of purpose. Like, yeah, maybe just tell us more about how you might go about facilitating that process. Because that's a big question, but yeah.
That is a big question. You know, I think the starting point is always to do the work. I guess I didn't say what the work is, but it's like starting to investigate who you are, you know, because that's, the, you know, the whole toxic thing, the whole not living, it all comes down to not knowing who you are, not having access to your self, your authenticity, your truth, your emotions, you know, and so you're living. A lot of people are living their lives without listening to that, without being aware of that. And that thing may be like giving you signals and telling you this and that, but like you're not able to even hear it. You're not even able to listen to it, but it comes up, right? In these little symptoms that we call mental illness or like some physical ailment or something happens, you know, like that's your psyche. That's like your soul saying, hey, like you're off here, like something's not right, you know? And so that's, yeah, it's so interesting. I'm trying to, you know, for a lot of men, especially in Asian men, I think like it's even doubly like difficult because not only are we men in this society that tells us, you know, don't like, feel your emotions, don't have emotions or, you know, just like man up and just, you know, be successful. And don't, you know, like all, like there's a lot of shoulds for men. On top of that, being Asian is like, what? Like your parents, your environment, you know, it's like you're in a little smaller box, you know, and even more emotionally suppressed, even more like just make money, just do things, these, you know, fucking doctor, lawyer, whatever, right? So it's like, man, Asian men. So just thinking about that, I'm like, I guess there's no way to, you know, you don't get there until you get there, like you were saying, like something happens in your life and then you kind of wake up. Maybe it's this pandemic too, but yeah, it really starts with like starting to wonder, starting to investigate, starting to be curious, and starting to actually like, this is big, actually caring about yourself enough to want something better for your life, to want something better for you. You know, if you have family, kids, like, yeah, sure, make sure they're taken care of, right? Make sure you can work something out, maybe with your mind, but like start doing this work. Trust me, they're going to be so much happier. You're going to be happier. Your family's going to be happier. It's like I was doing going to these retreats, right? These men's retreats. Like probably like 25% of the men there. There was like 250 men at this retreat that I went to last year, maybe a couple of years ago. Like 25% of them, it's like their girlfriends tell them to go. Like, right, you need this. Right. They saw it on Instagram. They saw this group on social media and saw all these men crying, like all this emotional relief. They're like, you need to go. The guy's like, what are you talking about? And like the girlfriend's like, fucking go. I'm going to pay for you. And these guys come to these retreats and they're like, oh, my girlfriend made me. At the beginning, they're like, you know. Like, and but then by the end, they're just like so open and relaxed and fluid, like their emotions, they're just free. And they're like, man, my girlfriend's going to be so happy. I'm like, oh, and that just hits me here, you know, hits me in the heart. I'm like, wow, that's, and I feel that too. When I see men who show up, I'm like, oh, yes, you know, like the men's group. And you know how it is. Like, there's something so nourishing about being in circles with other men who open up. And it releases something in us too. It's just like, oh man, it gives us permission, but it just it's like this resource that we just haven't had in our lives. And yeah. So yeah, I forgot what your question was, but yeah, so I guess purpose, right? So purpose is a feeling, it's related to all that, because once you start doing that, you live, your life changes. Who you are changes, right? The people you want to hang out with changes. The ways that you treat people, the ways that you're treated change. Like when you change your relationship to yourself, to your emotions, to these thoughts, these beliefs, these like negative experiences that might have happened to you, when you transform that, your life changes. Your life transforms as well. So, you know, this whole idea of purpose, it's like, yeah, purpose, we think of purpose as this like concrete one-dimensional thing. When it's really like 5D, it's like it's who you are, and you can create your life. And as you start to heal and change and grow and like become more self-aware, your life will also follow suit. You know, like it's just how it is. I mean, anybody and everybody knows this. You've gone through a deep transformation on some level, right? Some insight you've had, it changes your life, right? It's even like working out, right? Like you work out, you get bigger, it's like, oh, you get more confident, you know, you feel more testosterone in your body, you're like, you're able to talk to women, or you talk more confidently in the conference room, whatever it is, right? Like you change something in your life, it changes other areas, and emotions are like we said, and they have a role to play in everything, you know, relationships, career, literally everything. So change your emotions, you change your life, you know? So yeah, that's, I guess, breaking down purpose a little bit. And yeah, I mean, take action for sure. Like create your life, right? And take action and follow the systems and learn the systems that you need to be successful in whatever craft you want to do. But yeah, doing the inner work is really going to help you get you there.
Yeah. And I love that, because I, you know, obviously biased because of experiencing it for myself, of the importance of all this, but like it is something I didn't recognize before, you know, what I wanted to also say was that a lot of this talk about purpose or all these like bigger things, you know, living our best life and showing up the best for our other like friends and family and all these things like can't be done if we're still having some, you know, insecurity internally, right? Unawareness of our emotions or how we're living about our life, what kind of ripple effects that has, you know, if we're not even aware of that, we're not going to be able to make changes. And I know that that's shown up for me subconsciously, where I've regrettably hurt a lot of people around me, my you know, ex-girlfriends and friends, where I was not able to like own up my emotions, you know, not even able to identify it sometimes.
For sure.
And then like being in like conflict even within myself, and we all know that that's not attractive as a person when they're like they don't know what they want, right? And and it comes from have awareness of emotions, and that's what it starts with. So I really appreciate that, because that is that foundation to then, it's a building block to then start exploring our purpose. And you know, we need that like foundation here. So I guess like having all that said, like how do you go about helping people with that then? I know that you're, you know, you said you're not a therapist anymore, but you're transitioning into more coaching, right? And group work. Maybe tell us about like what you plan to do to like address this for people.
Yeah. You know, I feel a responsibility actually to like bring this to the Asian community. You know, it's like, man, like, yeah, most people are not educated around this, but especially Asian folks. And so, you know, it's like, how can I make this translatable? How can I make it accessible, understandable? That's kind of one of my missions right now. And hold space, because it's like, yeah, I fucking get it. You know, like this is hard. And growing up with Asian families, Asian immigrant parents, it's like, whoa, you know, that's not talked about in mental health enough.
Yeah.
They never held that space. They never had that space held for them, you know? So, and so on, like just generations of that. So like, I really feel like called to do that. I see a lot of resiliency in the Asian community as well. So, you know, like Asian Hustle Network, right? It's like, damn, there are in this group, badass Asians all over. So it's like allowing, how do I say this? Because not everybody wants to like be like me. Not everybody wants to like dive into the deepest core of their being to like get enlightened, or you know, like that's not what people want. People just want more of a more fulfillment, more ease, more, you know. So it's like going from I think it's like polishing a rock, maybe. So it's like if you're a rock, you're kind of, you know, you just might need a little bit of polishing, you know, but you know, to polish rock, you got to go through the tumbler. I don't know if you know anything about that. I don't know too much about it, but like you put like this just jagged kind of like ugly rock, and you could put it in a rock tumbler, and you just like spin this little thing, and like it just smooths it out. So I think a lot of Asian folks, you know, it's like they're doing amazing stuff and they're pretty solid. I mean, there are a lot of Asian people suffering and really having a hard time with mental health too. So, but yeah, it's like just this one area, you know, these emotions. And I don't mean that in a light way. It's a big deal, but helping that become easier, you know, and more navigable, and just like, I really want to help with that. And, you know, like the big, there's a lot of different avenues, like you were saying, that emotions touch, right? Like relationships or career, or, you know, family. I really, for me, purpose, that word, I hate using that word because it's like, what does that even mean, right? But like, sure. Purpose has always been my thing. It's like, I want to live my life in total alignment with who I am. I have to first discover. So that's something that I really, I was working on that before I switched to the Asian population. But now that I've switched, I'm like, okay, I'm going to start that up again and like kind of revamp it for Asian men, especially. That feels like a transition that's happening. I mean, I was doing this before COVID, but now that COVID's happening, it's like so many people are trying to figure out what to do next. Like they have this time, they have this freedom, maybe working remotely, or they realize they don't even want to work their previous job, and they realize how unhappy and unfulfilling it actually was, and they were burnt out, and like now they're like feeling much like more freedom and relaxation in their body, and they realize how valuable that is. So I'm like, okay, this is out there, and I can really help men do this transition and navigate it, and also really get the tools to navigate it, you know, like long term, because this is it's a long journey purpose. And so I think that's probably where things are headed, you know. So
love that.
Yeah,
no, and that's why I've been excited to have you on here and to be this resource for people, because I do see that there is, especially now with COVID and everything, that there is a more of an awareness of a need around this now, right? And people are becoming conscious about mental health as a overall health, and that it's not a mental illness. It's not like there's anything wrong with you to prioritize your mental health. It's just part of your health in general. It's just like maintaining your physical health, right? And that's important for us to show up best for, ultimately, for the people around us, for the ones we love and care about. And so there is a need for that. And I think it's just like, how do you make it translatable or accessible or relevant? And I love that that's what part of your mission too, because there are these like bigger, especially like in psychology and spirituality, maybe these things that are hard to connect with, right? And then to like bring that back down to the people, you know, like translating that in a way that allows us to relate and apply it for our life, I think that's going to be super helpful, because again, we see the need. I think it's just now like, how do we do it, or like how like what can we do to you know, maintain our mental health and well-being. So
totally.
Yes, I love this conversation, and I wanted to keep this short. We're coming up on the hour here. We could totally keep going into this stuff.
Yeah, totally.
But for someone who is listening, then like, what would you share as you know, based on all what we've talked about here, you know, what is something they can take away, you know, for them to at least take a step towards prioritizing their mental health or tapping into their emotions or what that might look like. Like, what would you kind of suggest as a good starting point?
That's a good question. I feel the roadblock. I feel the roadblock of this culture, Asian culture, patriarchy, all this stuff that capital, all this stuff that's like that makes mental illness, like you're saying, something bad and wrong, like something's wrong with you. And people can't get over that hump to like realize that, like you or like me, like it's just part of life. Like we all have these issues. And there's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong. That's actually why I left the mental health space and therapy, was because like, whoa, I was working in residential treatment centers with teens, at one point. And, you know, these are kids who want to kill themselves. These are kids who are addicted to substances. These are kids who like eating just like really like last resort shit. Their parents force them to go there. I'm like, oh man, this is going to be rough. These kids are, you know, and yeah, they're suffering and they're in pain. But man, when I saw these kids, I was like, damn, these kids are amazing. These are like some of the most creative, bright, like psych. I mean, not all of them, but like a lot of them are like the outcasts of society because like they are different. And why? Because they're, you know, queer or gay or just like psychologically minded. They're like really creative and artistic and, you know, sure they've gone through a lot, but it's like, we're backwards here. Like, you know, like we're backwards in our society by thinking that because somebody is emotional, because somebody is depressed, because somebody's anxious, there's something wrong with them and that they need to go to a doctor. Yeah. They need, you know, and it's like, you know, I don't know how to make this jump, but for me, it's the opposite. It's like every single person I've worked with who has anxiety, depression, whatever. It's like when we start talking about it, when we start diving into it, when we start like, when I start getting to know them, I'm like, whoa, like this person is amazing. And like whatever they thought was wrong is actually a doorway into something deeper, more truer, more creative, more alive, more like beautiful about this human being that they've had to shut down, you know, like that they've had to push aside because they were told it was bad or wrong or, you know, you know what I mean? Like there's no stigma for me. It's actually the opposite. It's actually that like, whatever, going back to the metaphor about the symptoms, right? So like something is off and your body, your like something in your emotions, something in your psyche is going to let you know. So you're not living, listening to yourself. You're not living, honoring some parts of your emotions that you need to like, you know, like, yeah. So,
yeah.
So like, so trusting that. And I know that it's hard to just take what I say probably and be like, oh, I accept myself and there's nothing wrong. But like, you know, just hopefully this starts to kind of like,
right,
you know, trickle in. And I would even say to listeners, like, hey, don't even think about it too much. It's just like, feel what I'm saying, you know, like feel it.
Right, right.
And like, cause it's, I'm sure it's touching somebody out there and being like, oh, okay. And whatever it's touching, that's what's important to start listening to. That's deep underneath all that, those conditioned thoughts and messages, you know, it's like, yeah.
Yeah. No, love that. Yeah, I heard a few takeaways and, you know, first it's really, letting go of the judgments that we might have or that judgments that might've been projected onto us, you know, through us, right, of other people with mental illnesses or conditions. And then even
actually,
those
can I say this?
Sure.
This is what's coming up as like a final thing. I appreciate, I wanted to hear what you were saying, but this comes up, this keeps coming up, which is, you know, you have a tech background. There might be people here who have tech background. Think of it, I really think of the psyche and like our emotions, our mind, everything as like a system. And that's literally how I learned it. It's called psychodynamics. So it's like a dynamic, energetic system. So the way I look at it is really like a car. It's like, I feel like I'm a mechanic sometimes because it's like I can see where things are off. So the reason why I bring that up is because like the things that happen to us, to you, to whomever, that are creating these imbalances, that are creating these symptoms or creating these things in our lives that we're like, what the fuck is wrong here? It's because something is off. But usually it's not like you're wrong. You know, it's not like there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with the system, right? So you can even look at it from a little bit of an impersonal perspective, but it's easier said than done because you're diving into emotions, you're diving into your child, you're diving into these experiences. So it brings stuff up and it's hard. But the bottom line, I mean, I can have this perspective because I've been in this so long and I can look at it from a little bit of a distance. from all the experience and everything, but like it really is just something is off. What can you do to tweak it? What can you do to get it right? But the answer is not like more working out, or I mean, maybe for some people, or like, you know, using some external thing. It's like diving in, getting in there, you know, switching out this pipe or switching out this, you know, looking at these beliefs, looking where they come from, and like switching them with a more positive belief, or, you know, like dealing with the trauma that you didn't deal with when you were, you know, that happened when you were younger, or, you know, like that, whatever is in your system that is causing these imbalances, that are causing these symptoms. It's like, that's all you're doing is working that shit out, you know?
So yeah, that's super cool analogy. Yeah. And, you know, cause you know, I'm not a mechanic, but there's obviously many things that affect each other in how a car works. Right. And so
for sure,
really looking at like replacing that piece or that part that will function better, and that will have a ripple effect about the whole performance.
Exactly.
So
yeah,
you know, that's same with software, same with computers, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. So that's exactly. Super cool. And again, I guess what I hear more of this takeaway too is, you know, identifying what that part is, you know, using your emotions as an antenna, as another source of data for yourself to understand, you know, your behaviors, understand your impact on the people around you, understand your own performance in work, your own productivity, right? What is that like part that you can become curious about, and then at the same time releasing the judgment you might have with other people about doing the work, about exploring themselves, right? I know for myself that's advice that I would take for myself too, is I grew up with a lot of judgments about other people. And that's what created the resistance for me to do my own work, you know? And so, so it sounds really, really detaching that. And I think that sounds like what I hear from what you were saying is a good first step, or kind of good takeaway for us here is just becoming curious.
Yeah, becoming curious. Yeah. And yeah, just being like, okay. Yeah, it's hard. The conditioning is really hard. You know, it's there. Like, I you know, just to reach out for help, even just to acknowledge that there might be something that's off. But, you know, going back to the very beginning, it's like being badass, it's a strength to want to have a better life, to want to do something better for yourself. And the ways to do that is you have to address it. You do. You have to address these things. And deep down, we all know it. I'm 100% sure that, like, deep down, we all know what the thing is, you know, that we need to address.
Yeah,
totally. But we're just not willing to admit it. We're not willing to, you know, like, I find that so fascinating that so many people aren't doing the work. Yeah. But yeah, you get them to start talking. I don't even have to pry. It's just like, it just comes out. And it's because it's because deep down, everybody wants, you all want freedom. You all want to feel whole. You all want to, you know, we all want that. And when we're not feeling that, it really gets us down. It really causes a lot of this. It's like, we know it. We know what it is, because everything in our lives kind of depends on it, really. So anyways, thanks. Yeah, this was great, man.
Yeah, for sure. I will also make a plug for you. Like, a good first step for anybody who is curious is really finding that space to explore yourself, and especially in the group of other men, especially other Asian identifying men. And so, yeah, I know you have your own group and you're facilitating a men's group for that. You want to share how people can reach out and connect with
Sure. Yeah, the men's group I run, it's for Asians, like you said. And yeah, that happens the first and third Wednesdays of every month. And Yeah, you can find out everything from my Instagram. So at the Asian Coach, and just in the links there. I don't have a website yet, but yeah, that's really just to have a place to connect, come share a little bit of what's real for you, or a lot if you want. It's just checking in, just being like, hey, you know, what's going on for me is this, and I could use support around this. And just sharing it. It's not like anybody's going to change or fix or shame. It's just like, just getting it out there and having other people hear it, it shifts something, you know, it makes you feel more relief. So that's what I would say about that. And then, I do have a private Facebook group that I've just started. I don't know how long it's going to take to get it really going, but that's the mission, to translate mental health. Like, I want mental health to really, for the Asian community, to work. So, that's Asians Healing and Making an Impact. And, that's all on my Instagram. And then some group coaching courses coming up, but, I'm not really ready to launch them yet. So, yeah.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. I love that you're in this work. And again, it's such a needed thing. I know I would have loved this growing up, or maybe totally. Not have loved it, but I totally would have needed it for sure.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you at least even just offering this space and knowing that that's a resource for people. So I'll share all the links in the description, and thank you for coming on here, man. It's been such a cool exploration of getting to know your story behind all this too. So.
Yeah, totally, man. I mean, happy to share. And I felt like there were a lot of times where it was like, whoa, there's a lot of offshoots here, but you kept it hunkered down. It was good. I felt like we talked about a lot of good stuff there. So, yeah, I appreciate you having me on.